Well, good morning. How are we this morning? Morning? Anyone freeze last night? It was cold. I had to get my winter jammies out. Like, seriously. I'm not ready for winter. Ady, are you ready for winter? No. I'm quite happy with 40 degrees compared to last night. It was way too cold, too early in the year for that. I've got a confession to make. I'm one of these people that has always, from my memories, and I don't have a great memory, so that's probably confession number one, but out of my memories, I have always loved action films. Does anyone else like action films, or am I sort of one of the only ones? Okay, all right, I'm not fully alone. That's good. I remember watching as a young, probably 10 years old maybe, Lethal Weapon. Anyone remember Lethal Weapon? Yeah? Okay. Not the new TV show. I can't bring myself to watch that because it's not the same as the original, right? It's just not okay. I might eventually bring myself to watch it, but I've always loved these action films, and I've always tried to figure out why. I don't know what it is about an action film that I love, but there's always... Someone yell at me, what's good about an action film? What do you think? What's good? The end. All right, you just, if you're going to be negative, no negative Nellies here today, please, okay? What's good about an action film? Excitement? Energy? You never know what's going to happen? Well, sometimes you can predict it, but yeah. They are often, blowing things up? Yeah, it always feels like blowing things up is good. The competition, absolutely. There's some great competitions and stuff, isn't there? It's interesting. I always love the fact that the stunts that some of them do are just blow my mind. And the fact that most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, the actual main actors are not the ones doing the stunts. They've got stunt doubles. Except for people like Tom Cruise, who is crazy enough to still actually do his own stunts. So if you ever see any of the Mission Impossible movies, they are actually him doing that. I hate to think what his health insurance scheme's like, hanging off the edge of a plane. But these action films suck you in by all the. It's not glitz and glamour. It's the bangs and the you know, shooting and the cars. And you know that in an action film, there's going to be a car chase and someone's going to come running after the car. How they catch the car, I have no idea, because you should not be able to run at the pace of a car. But apparently you can, and you can end up jumping over a couple and all those sorts of things. So although they are unpredictable, often the times they are quite predictable. Can anyone tell me who's one of your favourite action heroes? What was that? Thor? Yep. Yeah, I quite like Thor. Tom Cruise? So anything that, yep, Tom Cruise is pretty good. Bruce Willis and Die Hard? Yep. Yep. Yeah, some amazing ones out there, aren't they? My daughter's not here today. One of them. She would have yelled out Spider-Man. In fact, she's still talking about wanting to have a Spider-Man birthday party and she's almost 17. But Captain America is actually my favourite. I love Captain America. Thor's very, very close. But Captain America has been my favourite. And I think it's because he starts out good and almost stays that way. Kind of. He's sort of, if you watch some of the newer movies that have got Captain America in it, he starts to question some things. But he's always been this good guy that upholds the right. He is this strong character that's going to look after everybody. But there's a whole heap of action movies that have guys that aren't always good. And Despicable Me is actually one of them, because it starts off with this bad villain who eventually we see in a tutu. I don't know how disturbing that is for some people, but he ends up looking after girls, but he is this big baddie who does these horrible, horrible things. And his little minions, which are the little yellow guys that you'll see sort of floating around, are a part of that. And they actually cheer for him to try and stay bad. And I wonder sometimes how we go about people when they've been that bad and they've got this, like there's almost thousands of these minions, if you've ever watched the movie, where they're just everywhere and you can't understand a word they're saying. They've got this sort of gobbledygooky speaking that they can do that just continues to try and tell him that he's got to stay bad. But we like it when someone does something good. There's something about it in us that says, no, this has got to be, we've got to try and be good. Now, reality is we can never be fully good ourselves. Norma and I were talking about it just a minute ago, that although we try to be good, we're not always going to be able to be good. But something really unusual happens to Gru. And it was these three little girls that he ends up having to look after. And they inspire him to do something and become something good. Not every action movie will show that kind of picture. In fact, when I was Googling, as you do, to try and find some video clips for today, I typed in, you know, villains that have turned good. And there was a few. Actually, I've got a nice little list here. Might surprise you on some of them. But then, of course, there was the reverse of that. The good guys have turned bad. And it's very easy for us to do that too. So we've actually got to be careful of that. And reality is, all of us in some way, shape or form have been bad. And yet Despicable Me reminds us that even the worst of people can turn bad, and Jesus actually talks about it too. So if you've got your Bible or if you want to grab one from just over on the bookshelf, feel free. We're going to look up Luke chapter 19. And it may be a story that you know quite well, but it's one about a guy who is quite bad and is really shunned by society. There's a whole bunch of reasons for that, and we'll look at that in just a second. But this guy that Jesus ends up spending time with is someone that we would look at and go, you know what, he's not even as likable as Gru from Despicable Me. Like there's something about Gru where you sort of sit there and go, oh, he's kind of funny. Like, you know, dressing up in a tutu doesn't seem all that normal. Just the way he walks and speaks. I mean, Steve Carroll helps with that. But it's just, there's something about it. And a lot of our bad villains that become good are a bit like that. But this guy doesn't seem to have anything like that at all. So Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he'd become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Anyone else have that problem? A couple of us are a little short. I get the feeling, though, that he was probably even shorter still. Like, I almost wonder if it was almost like he was a dwarf or something. But anyway, he's really short, can't see. So he runs ahead and climbs a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going by that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Now, I want you to stop and pause for just a second here. What would make Jesus look up in the tree? He's walking down the road. He's going to be followed by a whole bunch of people. He obviously can't see it. So, you know, think of the Easter parade that we have in Bendigo. If you're more than two rows back, you can't see. So I'm picturing a similar kind of thing as Jesus is walking along. He can't see. He's short enough that he can't see past, you know, a couple of rows worth of people. So he climbs a tree, and I wonder what makes Jesus look up in the tree. Like, I don't know enough about sycamore fig trees, but was there, like, the fig? Could he pick the fig and just piff it at Jesus and say, hey, I'm here? Like, is that what he did? Like, he's a villain, remember? He wants to get the attention of Jesus here. He's desperate to see him. But Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus and calls him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "come, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Well, Zacchaeus quickly climbs down and took Jesus into his house with great excitement and joy. So Zacchaeus is stoked. He's managed to actually get a one-on-one time almost with Jesus here. But the people aren't happy. They're displeased, it says in the New Living Translation. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, the bad villain, the guy who you're not meant to like. You know, the guy who you just look at and go, nope, not okay. And there's probably people in your own life that you could potentially think of, people that have hurt you, people that have not been kind to you or whatever. Or we could think of people throughout history that have done that. And you're like, no, it's not okay. And yet Zacchaeus here is a real bad guy. And Zacchaeus instead, in verse 8, turns around, stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times their amount." Now, chief tax collectors, like, he's not just one of the little minions per se. He's not just one of the little guys that's sort of gathering some stuff. He's the chief tax collector. He's the nasty of the nasty. He's the Thanos, for those of you who like Marvel, okay? He's not nice. And here he is saying, you know what? I'm going to give half of what I've got to the poor. He was a rich man. One of the reasons why he wasn't liked. He was a Jew. He was taking money from Jews and giving it to their oppressors, the Romans. Okay, he's not a good guy. And here he is saying, I'm going to give half of what I own, half my wealth, and if I've cheated people, now the likelihood is he cheated a lot, if I've cheated people, then I will give them back four times the amount. Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek to save those who are lost." Jesus came for the worst of the worst. So in other words, he came for me. And you. Yep. He came for all of us. He came for the worst of the worst. And sometimes we think that the more we do good, the more we become good, the more we put aside the things that aren't helpful for us, which, by the way, we need to do. I'm not saying don't do that. But we think that we almost still sort of earn our way. And the longer we've been in a relationship with Jesus, I think it's easy for us to fall into that trap a little bit more, because we start to forget how bad we might have originally been and don't always look at what might be bad right now in our own life. Zacchaeus learnt that day in his desperation of climbing this tree so he could see Jesus, that Jesus loved him. That Jesus was right there and willing to change him. He loved him. And all Jesus said was, "Can I come to your place? It's all I want to do. I just want to come and be with you." And by that one little encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus has a change of heart. He just automatically turns around and he says, "You know what? I can't keep living like this. I know I can't keep being the bad guy." Now, it doesn't say whether he stopped being a chief tax collector. It doesn't say much more of what happened in that story. It sort of leaves us there with Jesus' words that we often claim as saying, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." And Jesus, throughout his teachings, talked about who the lost are. He leaves 99 righteous sheep to get the one, the lost one. He hunts for the one coin. He looks after the prodigal son. Jesus wants us to meet him. And right through the Bible, right through history, we can see bad people become good because of Jesus' love for them. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, persecuting Christians, killing Christians, killing people who had fallen in love with Jesus, and has this amazing miracle on the road to persecute another church that had popped up with the love of Jesus, because the disciples had been fearful. They all ran away and spread out the word of God. It was something that God had already planned. And here it was, Saul becomes Paul, who writes half the New Testament, pretty much. He becomes someone who was the bad of the bad and instead becomes the good. And yet, if you read through Paul's letters, he talks about, it's not Christ, it's not me, but Christ who lives in me. It's not me. I'm bad. I'm naturally bad. I want to do the good things, but I know I can't because I actually sin. It's a really confusing little passage in there. But it's reality, because we know we want to be good. That's why we cheer for the hero so often in our action movies. And you know the little rom-coms where you want the two people to get together and, oh, it's so horrible that they're not together. We cheer for those that are going to be good, for the things that are going to be good and happy. And yet reality in our life, in my life, in your life, is that not everything is good. Not everything is good. It only takes one bad decision to send someone down a really dark path if we're not careful. We love to see people become good. As I said, I was flicking through Google or YouTube, and I came across this little list. I didn't write all of them down because I didn't know them all, and I wasn't sure if everyone else would know some of them either. But there was a few that talked about some of the top 10 bad guys that have become good. And this is just in films, okay? So it's not books or anything like that, although some of them might be based on books. But, of course, we've got Gru. Anyone else think of one that they may not necessarily be action films, but anyone else think of something? Mad Max, yeah. That wasn't one that was on the list, but it was only 10, so, yep. Yeah, this might surprise you. There was Severus Snape from Harry Potter that was pictured as something really bad but then became good. There's the Grinch. Remember, his heart grows three sizes when he actually discovers that people matter, or the Whos matter. Darth Vader. Still questioning that one. Not sure about that, but Darth Vader. And then the one that came up any time I actually watched any of these, it was always the number one, was the T-800. Can anyone remember what the T-800 is? Terminator, yep. So if you've ever seen any of the Terminator, again, you know, action film, love them. The first Terminator was very graphic, it's not great in some ways, and he was a very bad guy, a robot, but very, very bad. And in the second film, he becomes the protector of the person who he was trying to kill. Became good. Now, he's a robot, but he became good. It's actually really interesting when you look through the Terminator franchises. There are so many ways that we come across people that that seem to be bad but can become good. And Jesus says, I have come to seek and save the lost. That's you and that's me. And that's actually everybody else who we come in contact with as well. Everybody. There are people out there beyond these walls that you and I come in contact with that don't yet know that Jesus came to seek and to save them. They don't know it yet. And it can be almost uncomfortable for us to want to talk about it. You know, if we go into work or school or wherever it is that we go the next few days and people say, oh, did you have a good weekend? What did you do? Oh, you know, I did this, I went to that. How often do we talk about meeting together with other Christians? Not necessarily coming to church. Remember last week we talked about be the church, but that we met together, that we learnt from each other, that we supported each other, that we got equipped, hopefully, ready to go out. You see, we've made up a whole bunch of these little cards. It says, Disciple Me. And on the back, it just simply says, Bendigo Salvos Church, Sundays 10:30 a.m. The website, and even the courtesy bus available with a phone number. Which we do. We have that bus. Kylie's brilliant on that. Thank you, Kylie. For us to be able to actually pick up people that can't physically get here on their own for whatever reason. We want to see those who are lost, who don't yet know that Jesus loves them, come to know him. And that happens through you and me. Not simply through bringing them here, although that can be helpful. Not just by, you know, maybe giving them a tract or reading a Bible verse to them or something like that. Although, again, that's obviously helpful. Not just by praying, helpful. But by you and me living out what Jesus asks us to do. To follow him. Zacchaeus had a momentary amount of time with Jesus and it transformed him, his life. I wonder how much we allow him to be able to do that to us at times as well. Jesus helps us turn away from any of the sins, any of the stuff that is bad in our life, because we have that. We all have that bad stuff. It might not be what it was. I know I'm not anything like I was before I met Jesus, but there's still things in my life that I need to deal with. There's still the risk of gossip. There's still the risk of procrastination and laziness. There's still the sin of lying even, or exaggeration. You know, the little white lies that we pretend aren't really lies? That's for me. So each one of us has something potentially that we need to hand over to Jesus. And he wants us to repent of those. And that means walking away from that stuff. We hand it to Jesus and we then start afresh and new. And so if you are struggling today for whatever reason, don't walk away without having a chat with Jesus. He died for you. He died to set you free. And he loves you. He knows you. He called you by name. And he asks for you to simply come to him. And to come to him, you just simply, you don't even have to close your eyes. You just say, Jesus, I still don't know much about you. I'm still learning. And that's okay. But I want to get to know you. And I want to see you make a difference in my life. And so, Jesus, I know you'll have me. I hand myself to you. I will follow you. thank you for taking away my sin. Guide me, I pray. Amen. Doesn't have to be those words. It can be anything. God knows. Anything along those sorts of lines. Admit that you need Jesus. Believe that he loves you. He died for you. And then choose to follow him. Choose to hand over that stuff. So have that chat with Jesus. We're going to have a song together. Amazing Grace, my chains are gone. Because we're each a wretch in some way. We were once lost. Maybe you still feel lost. Maybe there's still stuff that you need to deal with. Well, you might want to pray right where you are. You might want to come forward and pray. You might feel like you need to have that fresh start. That opportunity to say, God, that I need someone with me right now. I need you with me. I need someone else with me. And so if you feel like you need to do that today, take that opportunity. If you want someone to pray with you and someone comes up to you, that's fine. If not, tell us that it's okay and we'll toddle on off.